Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. It's a great opportunity for us to share with you some of the things we're doing at Life Technologies. I think to the point that Dr. Janisch and Goldstein made earlier, there's certainly, and several members of the panel in the audience, there's certainly a gap between where we are sometimes in basic research versus... And as providers of tools, one of our hopes is to help help the graduate student that has that experiment that works 9 out of 10 times be able to translate that to something that can be manufactured or turned into an assay. So as you may be aware, Life Technologies is the result of a merger about 3 years ago between Invitrogen and Applied Biosystems. And as such, we have a vast array of tools and reagents that have been developed. And these go from the sort of classic molecular biology reagents of Invitrogen to manipulate nucleic acids to the instruments that ABI have developed over the course of years to sequence DNA. And by combining these things, we've been able to understand gene function and develop cellular models to study basic biology and pathophysiology. And as the company's matured, as our organization has matured, I think we see that we've gone from a collection of reagents Can you hear me now? We've gone from a collection of reagents on the left that people have used for specific purposes to begin to create solutions that enable commercial development to entire workflows that we hope will generate novel medicines. And what I'd like to do today is take an exemplary workflow, and I think this is not unfamiliar to anyone, and this is sort of what Dr. Janisch talked about this morning, the idea that stem cells perhaps first off will give us some fruit in developing disease in a dish models that can be used to understand pathophysiology and possibly test for small molecule therapies. And in that flow, one starts with a patient and cultures cells, reprograms them, characterizes them, expands and differentiates them to some progeny, and develops some sort of assay to understand the biological problem or, again, how a small molecule or a biologic may interrupt or alleviate it. So what I'd like to do is take you through each of these steps, show you how we have tools and reagents to support those, and how we think they may fit together going forward. So to begin with, while, again, ABI has had a great contribution in capillary electrophoresis sequencing and our next generation solid, I think what's really excited us over the last 12 months is the introduction of the personal genome analyzer, and you can see this outside on our table. And the principle of this machine is revolutionary in that it's label-free and uses a semiconductor to very elegantly take advantage of the fact that when bases are incorporated into a nascent DNA strand, a hydrogen is released, and we can actually monitor that local pH change using semiconductor technology and read single base incorporation. Using microfluidics, we can control which base is going into the chamber, so we can see whether it's been incorporated or not incorporated, or if two are incorporated because there are a couple, there's a doublet, we can manage to see that as well. And what's phenomenal here to us is that this is an instrument that fits on your benchtop. It's something that's low cost. So again, when you think about what kind of core facility do I need, we would ask the question, you know, do you need a core facility? Or in 10 years, are you going to have the ability to have these things in a single laboratory, at least for certain applications? And as semiconductor technology increases, we have the ability to leverage that in this platform by simply replacing the chips. And year upon year, you're going to see longer reads, faster reads, and higher fidelity. So this gives us the ability to look at patient samples, get a snapshot of their genome, the transcriptome, the epigenome. And again, it's important to understand what you started with, because after you've reprogrammed it, I think as we've heard, you want to understand what impact that may have had. Additionally, if you have a cohort of patients, you may understand something more about their genome than the SNPs that are known to be involved. So let's take Parkinson's, for instance. There are certainly examples of folks that have sporadic occurrences of Parkinson's disease that do not carry the known mutations in alpha-synuclein or LRRK2 kinase, for example. And this may give us an idea and an understanding to collect that information and actually gain some discovery. Now, with respect to reprogramming, I think everyone will agree, again, this is a very wide open and fast-moving field. There's plenty to be learned. But one thing everyone, I think, sees is that there's a major bottleneck in terms of efficiency. And one way that we've addressed that is by using a Sendai virus application to do reprogramming using the four classic Yamanaka factors. This is a virus that infects rodents. Its genome is RNA, so it doesn't integrate into the genome of the cells that are being reprogrammed. And it provides a very safe and high efficiency means of reprogramming cells. And I'll show you here a comparison that we've done using mRNA-based methods along with lentiviral methods, which do integrate, and the Sendai virus. And what you'll see on the top is the requirement to add reagent more than once. In the middle, you'll see, of course, a method that integrates the reprogrammed particles, as well as does so in an inefficient way. And at the bottom, what you'll see is that a single application of these Sendai virus particles can provide reprogramming that can be begun to be seen in about 14 days, and within 21 days, we're driving efficiencies that are over 1%. And these can be done on feeders, in feeder-free conditions, and in xeno-free conditions. In this example, I'm showing you a xeno-free media component system that we have developed on human feeders, and fibroblasts were reprogrammed. And as you can see, their pluripotent markers are evident by immunocytochemistry, and when they're differentiated through embryoid bodies, they make the typical three germ layers one would expect. And one thing I would point out here is that because these are in different tubes, it may be interesting, back to the idea of stoichiometry, how one might mix and match these various factors to perhaps drive towards that naive state Dr. Yanish was talking about previously. Now, once those cells have been generated, one may, again, want to use the sequencing information to find out whether or not anything has changed, and furthermore, look at the cells and the molecules within them to understand whether or not they are, in fact, pluripotent, and as you differentiate them, whether they're differentiated. Of course, we have a very robust set of organic dyes from our molecular probes business, and our Alexaflora dyes, we believe, are one of the most photostable, highly quantum-efficient dyes available. These can be conjugated, or are conjugated to secondary antibodies, and can be conjugated to any primary antibody. And these can be used with a series of instruments that we now provide. This is one of our newest launches, and a benchtop digital fluorescent microscope. And again, we ask the question, you know, confocal images are nice, but are they always necessary? This is something that on the desktop allows you a fast, high-resolution way to look at your cells, to understand what they're expressing in a heterogeneous population and document it. In addition to the image-based equipments, we have cell counters. We have our new Tally, which is similar to our old Countess cytometer. This has a red and green fluorescent channel, allows you to look at more sophisticated live-dead assays, as well as stain with antibodies to look at least dual markers. And on the right, we have our Attune Flow cytometer, which is an acoustic focusing based machine that has extremely high throughput and provides for really rare event detection. So you can go through millions of cells very rapidly to look for single cell contaminants in large populations. And here is just a neat reagent that's come out of our development process this past year that is a live fluorescent stain that can be used to mark cells that are expressing alkaline phosphatase. And after, in this case, we're showing some iPSC-derived colonies, which are shown to be green. And after they've been scored, they continue to survive. They can be passaged multiple times, and they can continue to differentiate, as one would expect, after being picked and chosen. So this is a great way to live stain cells as you're going through your iPS reprogramming and pick colonies that are truly pluripotent and move forward with them without disrupting the culture. From a molecular standpoint, if you have an array of genes you're interested in from your own sequencing or from the work of others, you can use a wide variety of TACMAM-based panels. And you know, there are a number of instruments that these run on, from benchtop instruments like our Step 1 Plus to the Cadillac, which I think is shown out there on the table. And I'll mention, the Attune and the personal genome machine are out there. But our new Quantit Studio TACMAM instrument allows you to run all formats that we have, including our open array, which provides for very small sample sizes, incredible flexibility, and you can quickly change the format of what you're looking at based on the results that come out of your own sequencing experiments. We've also coupled our TACMAM assays with antibody affinity reagents to look at proteins at a highly sensitive level. And finally, again, using TACMAM assays or the Attune, one can look at contaminants, either things like mycoplasma by looking at pieces of them that you know are not involved in human cells, or by looking for instance, stem cells in a population of differentiated cells using the Attune. Okay, so I've shown you how one might sequence cells, how one might reprogram them and characterize them. Now I'm just going to touch on media component systems, and these can really be used throughout the process. But again, back to the idea of translating a research process to something that can later be manufactured, we've developed a series of cell therapy media components that are registered with the FDA. So there are drug master files on file with the FDA that describe the components. Where necessary, these are manufactured under either ISO or GMP conditions. And our feeling is that if you use these up front in your research, you're that much closer to translating those cells to a cell-based product. Likewise, depending on what type of cell you're looking at and what level of differentiation you're able to drive, we have, from our Dynal business in Norway, paramagnetic monodispersed beads that can be coated with antibodies of your choice, and these can also be manufactured in a GMP environment. And this can allow for either the enrichment of cells that you're interested in or the depletion of stem cells that you don't want to be there, down to, you know, over 99.5%. And finally, a piece that you may not be so familiar with around Life Technologies are our assays. And we have, over the course of the last 8 years or so, developed a vast array of high-throughput style assays for a large portion of the druggable space, from kinases to phosphatases to nuclear hormone receptors, GPCRs, ion channels, epigenetic phenomenon. And we have transferred these to a high-throughput screening facility that we have that we use to support our customers in the pharmaceutical industry. So while we're not involved in discovery ourselves, we have implemented the same tools that our friends in the pharmaceutical industry use, and these assays are robust in that environment in sort of the normal workhorse cell lines that one would think about. So as we speak today, we're in the process of beginning to port some of those assays into stem cell-based models and differentiated progeny to begin transferring these to more relevant systems. So in closing, I'm just going to share with you sort of an artistic vision of where we'd like to see things headed. And again, in our minds, many of these instruments are benchtop and relatively low cost compared to more sophisticated confocal imagers or fax-based sorting machines. And depending on what your goal is, we believe that these things can be put together in a single lab to help move you from a patient sample to a reprogrammed and differentiated cell that can be used to introduce an assay that can be taken into a high-throughput assay format to understand something about biology and potentially support further clinical applications. So thank you very much for your time, and I'd just like to encourage you to give us some feedback as you walk around. There are many people from Life Technologies here. We're very interested in understanding where the problems are that you face to try to understand how we can sharpen the tools that we provide. Thank you.